G'day, this is Nuki with an AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. This time joining in on the discussion on the thread titled The Sea Shepherd in the Fragile Earth and Health Issues feed. The topic in the preceding podcasts in this thread dealt with whaling and Greenpeace and the recent events with the Japanese whaling fleet and some of the vessels of Greenpeace and another group called the Sea Shepherds. I decided to join in on this discussion because I'm one of the resident Aussies here at AboveTopSecret.com, and it's great to hear Mulberry Blue Shimmer's voice again because I haven't heard any other Aussies in here for quite a while now. So it's good to hear her and contribute a bit to this. And I'm sorry if my podcast is going to be a little bit long and seem like I'm schizophrenic jumping back from one topic to another. I'll just be quickly reading over my notes that I took while I was listening to the other podcasts. They're not very sequential, so they might jump back and forth a bit, so just bear with me. Something that Magic brought up in his first podcast on this thread was other definitions of the name Greenpeace and other ways to read into the motives of Greenpeace. I'd like to state that the name Greenpeace might in fact be Orwellian doublespeak for eco-terrorism. Remember, love is hate, war is peace, freedom is slavery, etc., etc. And green might not in fact actually state any intentions, it might just be a prefix. Therefore, green war, or another form of war which Greenpeace likes to enact in, which is their terrorism. And you just change the label for green, the prefix, to eco, and you've got eco-terrorism. That said, in their defense, I'd like to state that, do they have any other options? Are Greenpeace's actions really the last resort? Or have they already gone through every other option that they could have possibly used in order to stop this whaling? Have they done what the government has decided not to do? Have they gone to the United Nations? Have they gone through other countries that are neighbouring between Japan and Australia, mainly Indonesia, Papua New Guinea? Have they asked the help of Japanese companies in stopping the whaling? Have they even lobbied the Japanese government directly? These are questions which I'd like to see answered. After listening to Mulberry Blue Shimmer's podcast, I'd like to ask the question of whether or not the IWC moratorium is actually passed into law in the nation states that signed it and were member states of the IWC. I couldn't find any documentation on the maritime law passed that it would relate to whaling. It's rather hard to find, so if anybody else can find it and do a bit of information and podcasting on it, then that'd be great, thanks. But nonetheless, the IWC passed the law, or the moratorium, in 1986, but Japan has somehow managed to find a loophole in doing what's called scientific whaling, which could be for any number of different purposes. As Mulberry Blue Shimmer joked about, that it might be testing how soy sauce is affected by whale meat. But I was able to find a bit of results from some of the Japanese researching at bbc.co.uk, which I'll go into in a bit. But something that I found at wikipedia.org was the Wikipedia proclamation that Japan's selling off its excess whale meat because of a Japanese cultural aversion to waste. Being a Japanophile and a Japanese fanboy myself, I would probably have to state that Japan does hate wasting things. Massive recycling programs and double uses for everything, biodegradable plastics, etc., etc. They're just crazy when it comes to recycling and reducing waste. But nonetheless, they could just be using that in order to have an excuse to harpoon the whales, sell the meat off on the market for high prices, and the blubber for perfumes, expensive items and stuff. Another rumour mill that I found on the internet was, is Japan giving aid to fellow impoverished IWC member nations to buy their vote in the IWC meetings to possibly let Japan engage in commercial whaling? For years now they've been trying to pass proposals in order to allow them to do commercial whaling, whereas the other two nations who also engage in the whaling haven't been doing as much of the proposal, or the attempted proposal passing in IWC meetings. Japan are being the rather militant ones in IWC meetings, and they aren't exactly hiding the fact that they're doing the whaling research. And Japan's also been trying to remove some of the whale sanctuaries. The next note on my list here is that Greenpeace might, in fact, from a conspirator's point of view, or a conspiracy theorist's, whatever you want to call it, from a conspirator's point of view, Greenpeace might actually be government stooges doing their dirty work. That the Australian government might actually be trying to prevent whaling, which they have publicly proclaimed several times over the past decade, and a few months ago, when the whaling was another issue, John Howard got on the news and was publicly protesting against the Japanese whaling. But in actively preventing whaling using government-linked corporations and entities, would this be preemption to war with Japan? That would probably be the last thing that Australia needs at the moment. And in order to actually stop a lot of the whaling, they would have to put up maritime... they would have to try and set up new maritime laws in order to actually allow them to enforce the whaling restrictions, if they haven't already attempted to do so. Otherwise, they would need to set up sanctions against Japan, and we'd see yet another Pearl Harbor all over again 50-something years in the future, which I don't want to see happen, because I love Japan, and I sort of love Australia, and I don't want to see the two trying to kill each other. But nonetheless, is Greenpeace actually just a shadow government stooge doing their dirty work, and the patsies and whipping boys of the shadow government that wants to stop the whaling? Magic brought up the point that Greenpeace might in fact be the gimps of corporations. Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with that. It'd be rather hard to prove, but I wouldn't put it past them. They're another politically motivated group, and all politically motivated groups always have lobby groups that try to control them and fund them and give them higher networking capabilities and even get them into Parliament. I wouldn't put it past Greenpeace to just be gimps of the corporations and the lobbyists. Next topic. For the past few years, Japan's been whaling about 700 whales a year since, I think it was approximately 2001, the latest figures. I can't remember the website. I was just looking through it before. So if anybody could actually find the details on how many whales Japan's been killing, then that'd be great. But I also remember seeing that the Japanese government claimed to be aiming for 1,000 whales a year. I'll go into how this might affect the mink whale population in a bit. I found at news.bbc.co.uk, and if you want the full URL link, you'll have to go into the forums to be able to find it, and the attached thread, or the associated thread that goes with this podcast. But it was basically in the Science and Nature Department of the BBC News website. It proclaims that genetic research on Tokyo whale meat reveals that mink whales may not be experiencing an unprecedented surge in numbers, as had previously been thought. And that it was said that the species' success had hampered the recovery of other whales, and that the hunting of minks would be sustainable and beneficial. And the rest of the page goes into how the mitochondrial errors over time were used to determine the overall length of the species' propagation for the mink whales, giving them an estimate initial zero-point production of 1 million years ago. And the rest of it's pretty boring. Nonetheless, a bit of whale population data. Taken from whale.welock.edu.au. I'll also post this URL in the accompanying threads for this podcast. The population statistics for the mink whale, or the Balaenoptera acutera strata, were that in the pre-exploit of the loopholes in the IWC moratorium, were 740,000, and the present population estimates are 725,000. That might not seem like much of a population drop, right? Well, the Eubulina australis had a pre-exploit estimate of 100,000, and now has a present estimate of 3,000. That's a drop of 97,000. How many whales do they have to kill every year? Nurki now entering angry mode. The blue whale, also known as the Balaenoptera musculus, pre-exploit estimates 228,000. Now 14,000. God damn. And it gets worse, and I'm not going to go into the rest. But needless to be said, something needs to be done. Australian government proclamation of opposition to whaling is inefficient. Action needs to be taken. Nothing else has worked. The Japanese government is not listening to anti-whaling protests, nor are they listening to their neighbouring nations and some of their biggest trading partners. I urge the Australians to get up off their ass, stop watching the telly, stop drinking beer, go out and do something about this. Stop being chicken poops and actually do something about this. Don't give money to Greenpeace. Use your own voice. Don't get others to go out and do the protesting for you. Write to your local member of parliament. Nag the living poo out of them if you actually care about the whales. Like Magic said, political action is the way to get this done, not violence. Well, this is Nurky now getting out of protesting angry mode and signing out. Bye. Infinite God.